Welcome to the Revisionist History Podcast, where we set the historical record straight, no matter who it might offend. I'm Paul, and we've reached the end of what's been a crazy year for both me and the podcast. And as we go through this last week and a half or so, what I'm going to be doing on several days is just highlighting the most popular episodes of the past year. I did something similar last year, and it was fairly popular. Now, those of you that have been listening for a long time, and some have been with us since we started in 2019, you'll probably have noticed that the frequency of new episodes has dropped off considerably in the last month and a half or so. I was, for roughly a year or more, doing an episode a day. And then Spotify changed the sponsorship rules, as I've mentioned before. And it has to be, in order to qualify for sponsorship, you have to have 1,000 unique listeners every 60 days on the Spotify platform. And the fact of the matter is, not that many people listen to podcasts on Spotify. At least I don't think. In fact, the analytics that I get from Spotify themselves show that minimum of 90% and upwards of 95% of the listeners of my podcast are listening on Apple Podcasts, which makes sense. That's the most popular podcast platform. At any rate, because I do want to continue, but because I am also self-employed as a writer and a podcaster, I've had to scale back because I lost a sponsorship. I'm going to be looking at some things in the new year, including trying to get some sponsors on my own. It's something I haven't really tried. I'm not 100% sure how to go about it, but I'll figure it out. But in the meantime, I want to be able to still do 2 to 3 episodes a week going forward. And in order to do that, and I've said this before, I'm going to need your help. If you want us to continue in any form, you can support us by clicking the Support This Podcast link on whatever platform you're listening on, most likely Apple Podcasts. Or if you don't want to do a monthly support, you can just do a one-time donation to our PayPal account, which is at the email address revisionisthistory@yahoo.com. Again, that's revisionisthistory@yahoo.com is the PayPal account for the podcast. I'm hoping to keep it going. I'll keep you updated. And for now, just everyone have a great Christmas, great New Year, and enjoy this look back at some of the most popular episodes of the past year. Let's get started. The ship was named the Bounty. I was appointed to command her on the 16th of August, 1787. Captain William Bligh. Welcome to the Revisionist History Podcast, where we set the historical record straight, no matter who it might offend. I'm Paul, and in today's episode, we set sail on a voyage of debunking some long-held maritime myths from the age of exploration. We'll find that historical revisionism is just as alive and unwell on the high seas as on dry land. So don't let the Hollywood or governmental accounts fool you. We start with one of the most famous mutinies of all time, the Mutiny on the Bounty. Most people today know about the Mutiny on the Bounty only from Hollywood films. The three most famous being from 1935, with Clark Gable as Fletcher Christian and Charles Laughton as Captain William Bligh, 1962, with Marlon Brando as Christian and Trevor Howard as Bligh, and 1984, with that famous revisionist Mel Gibson as Christian and Anthony Hopkins as Bligh. The very fact that in each case, the role of Christian is played by the biggest heartthrob star at the time shows how skewed the account will be from the very start. The standard line about the Bounty story is that Captain Bligh was a sadistic maniac
who abused his crew to the point that a mutiny led by the loyal but conflicted Christian was inevitable. Bligh's name has gone down in history among the greatest of tyrants. But he wasn't at all, as the records of the time show. The testimony of his own men tell the story of a captain who was extremely lenient for his day. Even the Bounty's ship log shows that Bligh issued verbal rebukes for offenses for which other captains would have ordered lashings, and that Bligh ordered only the lash for crimes that would, under maritime law, normally mean a sentence of death. One example of this was when, after three crewmen who deserted to remain in Tahiti were captured, Bligh had them flogged rather than hanged, which was the typical penalty for desertion. Furthermore, Bligh and Christian were not antagonistic toward each other, at least not before the mutiny. Bligh recommended to the British Admiralty that Christian be appointed master's mate on the Bounty, and he later promoted him to acting lieutenant. The reason for the mutiny was not Bligh's tyrannical ways, as he had none, but rather the mutineers' desire to remain in Tahiti with the women they met there. With sailors, some things never change. So why do we remember the event so wrongly, even after a court of inquiry completely exonerated Captain Bligh? The answer is twofold. First, the Christian family has steadfastly, for 200 years, portrayed Fletcher as a man driven to mutiny by a tyrannical, even homicidal, Captain Bligh. Second, Hollywood sided with this story, as did much of the British public in the years after the mutiny, and perpetuated the myth. But Fletcher Christian was no hero, and Captain Bligh was no villain. Perhaps the greatest injustice of this revisionism is that the voyage Bligh and 18 others completed as a result of the mutiny is largely forgotten. Placed in the Bounty's longboat by the mutineers with a few supplies, almost no instruments, and no charts at all, Bligh and those loyal to him were set adrift with the full expectation that they would die at sea. Yet Captain Bligh navigated the longboat 3,600 miles across open ocean to Timor, using only a sextant, the stars, and his pocket watch. The 47-day voyage is acknowledged by historians, at least those who even know about it, as the greatest feat of navigation in maritime history. That is what we should remember him for, not Charles Lawton's brooding portrayal. Another maritime myth is one we've all bought into, the quote, fact that Captain James Cook discovered the east coast of Australia. It's somewhat ironic that Cook is lionized when he was, in fact, more brutal to his crew and to natives than the false portrayal makes Bligh out to be. It was his attempted kidnapping of the King of Hawaii, after all, that led to his death there at the hands of the natives. In any case, Captain Cook was not the first European to discover Australia. I say European because obviously the Aborigines beat him by about 40,000 years, and the Chinese were there by the 4th century BC. But when he reached Australia in 1770, he was also 164 years behind the Dutch explorer Willem Janszoon, who landed at the Gulf of Carpentaria in 1606. Two other Dutchmen also beat him, Dirk Hartog in 1616 and Abel Tasman in 1644. Tasmania is named after him. Cook wasn't even the first Englishman to land in Australia. That honor goes to William Dampier, a British pirate. So why does Cook get all the credit? The answer is simply a case of the victor writing the story. The British were, at the time, in fierce competition with the Dutch and were ultimately victorious. Britannia ruled the waves and much of the world, and the Dutch faded into the background. Britain wrote the history and made Cook the one who discovered Australia. They could have chosen Dampier, but a Royal Navy captain makes a better hero than a pirate. Finally, there's the persistent myth that Ferdinand Magellan was the first man to circumnavigate the globe. Unfortunately, this is as untrue as the other myths we tackled, but not through any fault of Magellan's. He simply had the misfortune of being killed by natives in the Philippines midway through the journey. However, one of his five ships and 18 of the original 270 crew actually did finish the voyage, returning to Portugal after 3 years. The captain of that remaining crew was Juan Sebastian Elcano, but as the voyage was planned, organized, and originally led by Magellan, he's the one we remember. Sometimes your vision is what gets you the credit. Well, that's our seafaring episode for the day. I hope you have clear skies and fair winds today. We'll see you next time. Thanks for listening to today's episode. I hope you found it both informative and entertaining. If you'd like to help us keep episodes like this coming, please consider clicking on the Support This Podcast link in the show notes. Thanks a lot.